Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
Where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up? Southwest Iowa. Page County, Fremont County, mostly Fremont County, where I live now.
You know what? I may be young for it. I may.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know.
What was your childhood like?
What
was your childhood like?
Oh, it was a normal childhood, a kid growing up in the 50s and the 60s. I lived out in the country. I was an only child, basically. So I had to do anything I wanted to do. I had to do it all by myself. And it was all right. We went to town, went to school, played games at recess and everything, just like anybody else.
Do you, who were your favorite relatives?
Well, I had an Aunt Minnie that was my dad's sister. And she loved to read, and I loved to read. And even though we lost her, I was pretty young when she passed away. I always enjoyed what she did and what she said, and pretty close to her. Even though, like I say, she died when I was pretty darn young. I think I was 6.
What does it look like from the outside?
Do you remember any of the stories they used to tell you?
Oh, yeah. My dad told me stories and stories and stories. He was a very good storyteller. He had a very interesting life, considering he was 50 years older than I was. In other words, he was born in 1897. And he had a lot of very interesting stories. It'd take several days to get through all of them.
Wait, is there a TV right there?
It's just a couch. It's a loft. My favorite one that I can remember when I was little, I wasn't very big. I think I was 4 years old.
You know what?
And President Harry Truman came to Shenandoah. And he would make a speech down at the football field. My dad put me up on his shoulders so I could see, because, of course, a lot of people there and everything. And we walked through, and I got to see Harry Truman back in about 1952.
Dad saw where to go fishing with a guide for
athletes. What was my mother like growing up?
Oh, she was just one of the kids. She ran around. We lived in town. She was about 7. And she went babysitter. Mom was a teacher in the elementary school where she went. So basically that.
Do you remember any songs that you used to sing to her? And can you sing them now?
No, I can't sing them now, but I remember songs she sang. There was one that just annoyed us to no end. We went on a vacation once, and she and her sister sat in the back seat of the car, and mile after mile after mile, they sang, 1 little, 2 little, 3 little angels, 4 little, 5 little, 6 little angels. I think I was about to put them out on the side of the road by the time we got halfway across Nebraska. Oh, yes, and she sat on the cave in Farragut singing, "I'm a Rhinestone Cowboy," or something like that. She never knew any more words than that. And she had her cowboy hat, and she'd ride this. It was rather, yes, I'd forgotten about Rhinestone Cowboy. There wasn't much there. Just Rhinestone Cowboy over and over. But at least when she was outdoors, it didn't bother so much.
Was she well behaved?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just hold on forever. No real problem.
What is the worst thing she ever did?
Probably, she'd gotten her first car. I just bought it for her, and she and her sister went up to church, and she came back, and she was going a little too fast on the ruts and everything, and she rolled it. Wrecked a brand new, just wrecked a car that we had just bought.
That's not a bad price.
But no, but neither one of them were hurt, which was good. Yeah.
What were your parents like?
That's unreal.
Well, like I said, my father was actually equal to most people's grandfathers. In fact, he was 2 years older than my wife's grandfather. So I, sometimes it was quite interesting. He, especially towards the end of his life, he tended to kind of forget that I wasn't my half-brother. My half-brother was 21 years older than I was. And he would, on occasion, not realize he was talking to me instead of Jamie. And he'd say, well, do you remember this? And I'd, no. Well, why not? Because it happened 10 years before I was born. And he'd look at me, oh, that's right.
Or so-and-so died 10 years before I was born.
Yeah. So that. What else you got?
What were your grandparents like?
I never knew either one of them. I only knew my grandfather on my mother's side, and only slightly. And he was an old, tough farmer, dirt farmer, hard-pressed, hard-scrabble, had a rough life. My mother's mother died just within a week or two of my mother being born. So my grandmother was gone, and Grandpa, I did see him a few times. He and I got along quite well. He was not overly fond of the other grandchildren, mainly because I didn't quite talk like they did. They tended to talk rather, baby talk to him, and he didn't like that. I can understand why.
Come back with a suntan.
Yeah, you would have found him. No, you wouldn't have. No. Grandpa was something else.
Yeah, I always forget to talk.
How would you like to be remembered?
As a teacher.
Wow.
That was quick.
That was quick.
There you go. There you go.
And the last question is, are you proud of me?
Of you? Well, of course. You've done a lot of good things. And you found some interesting things. I'm glad to see you're getting into some of this stuff. As far as the stories from your great grandpa, yeah, those you understand. I'll give you an example. My dad and three of his friends in 1925. Okay, they bought a brand new car, the four of them, and they took off and drove to Los Angeles, California. There were no highways. They drove on gravel roads for the most part, all the way. Then they drove up to Seattle, back through Yellowstone Park, then down through the Badlands and back home. It took them a month. And the stories he told are quite fascinating, but you got to know a little more history than you know now. But just imagine. 1925, no air conditioning, it had a heater, no radio.
Yeah, we're going down.
You're on one?
Okay. The road maps were very, very sparse. And you just kind of, they had a tent and supplies, and they camped out. And they made it all the way to Los Angeles, California, which wasn't a very big town. They went up to Santa Monica Pier, which your grandma just was at, and they took a ferry out to Santa Catalina Island, which is a long way to go, a long time. But that's some of the stories like grandma did, my dad did.
And then what is your favorite story to tell?
About what?
Just what is your favorite story?
Oh, I have no idea. I tell all kinds of stories. There's all kinds of things I remember and I laugh about when we start talking about them. I tell about when your grandmother and I got engaged to get married. I told her I couldn't afford a ring yet at that time. So I'd given her some money a couple of weeks before. And this night we were going out to the movies. And I had bought a diamond ring for her. she didn't know it. She didn't think she was getting it. So just as we pulled into the town and parked and got out, I gave her the present, and she opened it up, and here was this ring. Well, she was a little excited. And so we started out to go to the movies, and she was just bubbling over and everything. And she said, come on, come on. I said, Sue, the light's red. No, it's not. It's green. I said, yeah, I'm going that way. We're going this way. And it was red. She was a little, she couldn't remember which direction. She's never has since been able to remember what direction she was going. But that's a story. I can tell you a lot more.
That's a great one.
And then one that I find good about this is, what was I like as a young child?
You were a little kid. You were good. You,
first time your grandmother's ever been speechless.
You ran around, did stuff.
First time.
You were just fun.
Almost the last time, too.
You were into stuff, but like not as bad as some of my grandchildren have been. No.
No.
No. You don't even hold a candle to Sloane.
For doing what?
Sloane's busy. She's always busy. But what else do you need?
No.
What do you think I can accomplish as I grow up?
Whatever you want to do. It's all up to you.
And that's pretty much all of the questions on
that you want to ask.
But
what?
Is there some other interesting stories?
From what?
Tell them about when we got married.
Who? Oh.
That they called her.
First off, we got married on the hottest day of the hottest month of the hottest year, 1969. There was more going on in the United States of America at the time we got married than you can imagine. 2 weeks before we got married, the man stepped on the moon. Then we got married, and 10 days later, they had a little thing called Woodstock out in New York, which was a three-day-long party for 500,000 teenagers. We didn't go.
About 100,000.
And let's see, the day we got married, it was really hot and everything. I showed up wearing knee-high black socks and Bermuda shorts. And they told him I wanted her, I didn't want to go. And they told me, no, we've gone this far, it's hot, you got to go. The church was not air-conditioned. So anyway, we got dressed. I got dressed. We got there, and your mother looked absolutely magnificent coming down the aisle. Her dad looked a little funny with his cummerbund on, because he was a big guy and the cummerbund was not that big. But he did look pretty happy. I think he figured he got rid of a problem there. I don't know. Anyhow, we got down there, and our minister was a good friend and everything. And I, of course, had known your grandmother a long time. And so he stood there, and at the very end of it, he says, you know, they always say Penny and whatever the name of the groom and the bride, whatever he is like, Penny and Sue, Penny and Steve, I now pronounce man and wife. Well, he messed up. And your grandmother's name's Penny Sue. And he said, Penny and Sue, I now pronounce you man and wife. I kind of looked at him funny, and he didn't really realize. He never even realized at that point that he'd done it. So we went down the aisle and everything. People are coming out. And finally the prince out, and he comes up to me, and I said, how do you do? My name is Sue. And he looked at me and says, oh, I did, didn't I? And I said, yep. The song by Johnny Cash, My Name is Sue, was at the top of the charts the week we got married. So everybody knew the joke.
I didn't realize that.
Some 8 years later, a pastor was at our church for something, and they were talking about things, and he stood up and was telling about some of the things that happened when he got married. And he said, oh, by the way, Steve and Penny, you are now married. Common law takes over after 6 years. So even if I messed it up, you're married now. So we couldn't. Well, we tried to undo it, but it didn't work. We did. Yes, I had a SS 396 Chevelle. which probably ran real fast and top ended around 140 mile an hour. And so my groomsmen, or some of the other people that were at the wedding, back then it was a tradition that you followed the bride and groom around town. You had tin cans on the back bumper, and they painted things all over it and everything. And you'd drive around, and they'd follow you, and everybody'd honk their horns. Big celebration. Well, they decided that they'd slow me down. They jacked my car up and put it on blocks, so I couldn't drive it. What they didn't think about was my best man, not a guy named Woody Woodward.
Wait, that's a great name.
Yeah, well, his real name's William. And Woody drove a 1966 Dodge Charger with a 426 in it, four-speed. And he had real noisy pipes on it. Anyhow, so everybody's outside afterwards. We're getting ready, you know, they got the rice and all this. And we come running out, and instead of getting in my car, we got in his car and took off. And the people took out after us. Well, it wasn't too bad. One of my groomsmen, I was in the best man's car. He jumped in with the next groomsman, which was a guy named Mike. And they had a 1965 Impala Super Sport 427.
Is Mike my uncle?
No.
Wrong Mike.
No, this was a guy named Mike Gilbert, and he's no relation. The next groomsman was a guy named Roger Dunakaki. You'll notice they're all Germans. And Roger jumped in his 69 GTO and took out after me. And then came your Uncle Mike. He was my last groomsman, and he was driving his 1963 Oldsmobile Delta 88 four-door.
That's a long name.
It's a long name for a very large, slow car.
Great name.
We took off, and oh yeah, he was excited because he could drive. He just got his driver's license. And so they took out after us, and we drove around in Shenandoah, and we drove out on the highway and went south. And I had this 427 Impala, I had a GTO, I had a 61 Thunderbird that belonged to a couple of friends of Mike's, and Mike. We got 5 miles out of town, we turned around, we started back, and I met Mike 2 miles out of town. He was still trying to catch up.
He wasn't catching up that well.
No, he wasn't catching up too well at all. And he made up for it. But at that point, it was just one of those interesting days. And then we got back, and I believe your dad had overseen them getting my car down off the block so we could drive it.
Oh yeah.
It was that was an interesting, and it was also 103 degrees. And nobody had air conditioning in the church or the car. We were tough.
Well, actually, you were Bredensteiners and German, too. Yeah.
Well, that didn't hurt. But I came from northern Germany, and that was a cool part of the country.
The cool.
Okay, anything else you want to know?
Pretty sure that's it.
Okay.
You can ask questions about what he remembers about your dad. Stories with your dad.
I just told one to your grandma today.
You got it on.
We were putting...
Yeah, it's still on.
Okay.
We were putting towel racks up in the vanity room. And I was using the drill, and I'd put the bit in, and I'd grab a hold of the chuck and hit the button, and it'd go, and I'd say, "Don't do that." And she looked at me like, "Huh?" And I drilled it, and I took it out and put another bit in, and I put it on there, and I grabbed hold of the chuck, and I hit the button, and it tightened up real quick, and I said, "Don't do that." She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, Malin and I were getting the first use of these, you know, the electric drills, and we were reading the directions, and it said, never hold on to the chuck when you pull the trigger to tighten it, because it will turn in your hand, and you could injure yourself." So every time we did that, we'd look at each other and say, "Don't do that." But we did it anyhow.
But the directions.
Sounds fun.
Oh, Malin we were fishing up in Stone, Big Stone one day, and he was sitting out on the dock fishing, and I went up to the house. It was kind of rainy. I went up to the house. We had another guy with us named Cheyenne, and I went in to get an adult beverage, and I was coming back down, and I looked down, and here's your dad on his knees on the dock, and he's holding his rod out and doing like this, and I'm going, I wonder what he's doing. And he turned around and yells at me, get the net! And I thought, okay. Well, we were catching crappie, which aren't real big, and they're easy to land. And so I grabbed the net, and I thought, maybe I ought to hurry down there a little. So I walked a little faster. And I got down there, and he said, hurry up, hurry up. And I said, I am. He said, put the beer down. I did. And I got there. I said, what's the problem? He says, I got a bass on. And he brought it around, and I had it. He caught a 5-pound largemouth bass in Minnesota, where they don't catch bass that big.
No.
They were, the resort went nuts. He had to have his picture taken holding this bass. And I said, oh, for God's sake. And he caught it on a microlite outfit. Because we were fishing for crappie, you know, and you don't want to use big, heavy equipment. And that
bass probably eat the crappies.
Oh, well. Then one of the things that both of us just wondered, what in the world? We were fishing on Big Stone, and we were sitting there. Fishing wasn't too real good. We caught a drum, which is a stupid carp.
But they're fun to put their heads together. It makes it a little...
Well, I don't know about that, but anyhow, I was taking the hook out of his mouth and my needle nose plier slipped and I stabbed him in the head, which killed him. It was a pure accident. I didn't intend to do that. The third time probably was a little
you.
Bit... Anyhow, I had this dead drum. He was about, weighed about 2 pounds. He's about, 14 inches long and about 8 inches, 6 inches thick, and about this thick this way, you know. And so there was a pelican out there floating along, watching us. And we had both been remarking to the pelican, about the pelican. And I said, watch this, I'll scare it. And I took that fish and I threw it at the pelican, thinking, we'll watch him fly off. The pelican instead looked down like, oh boy, supper! And he grabbed that big drum and got it, you know, they got that big pouch underneath. And we could see, here's this fish in that pouch. And he shakes his head and he tips his head around. I'm going, what is he doing? The man looked at me and said, I got no idea. I said, he can't chew it because they don't have teeth. But he chewed it, he messed around, tipped his head up 2 or 3 times. All of a sudden we could see he'd gotten it around, so the head was first. And he tipped his head up, and that sucker went down. We watched his neck go whoop, whoop. It stretched just as big as that fish, and down it went, right into his belly. Whole. He didn't chew off a bite of it. He ate the whole thing. Oh, we did all kinds of stuff.
That's cool to watch.
You want to know more about your dad? I got more stories about your dad because he was forever doing something.
He didn't think I could catch the smallest fish, and I proved him wrong.
Yeah, she did. We were catching fish, and Grandma was out with us, and he felt sorry for Grandma. He'd bait her hook for her and everything, take it off the hook. I wasn't about to. And we were fishing, and he threw, got a line out, and her bobber kind of went, dink, 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 and she, I got him, and she pulls back, and sure enough, she caught the smallest perch we'd ever seen. He was about that long. The hook was big.
3 inches.
And yeah. She had him hooked. And I said, you take him off the hook. The Malin was just sitting there laughing.
That's big.
It was on Gull Lake. We were fishing there one day, and it was dead still, calm, you know, towards evening. And we were about in the middle of the lake. It's an 11-mile long lake. It's a long, narrow lake. Well, it's wide enough. And we heard a sound like a hummingbee or something. A hummingbird. It went, wah! Way to the north of us. And we turned around and said, what's that? He says, I don't know. It sounds like an engine. I said, well, it does, kind of. And about that time, we saw two jet boats coming. And they were flat out flying. They were hitting about that much of the back end of the boat, and then they had this motor that was gigantic.
Oh, yeah.
They went by us. They didn't even make a wake. They weren't in the water deep enough to make a wake.
Oh, wow.
And we watched them go by, and I said, they didn't wave. We thought that wasn't very friendly. But on the other hand, as fast as they were going, they probably never even saw us. So we sat there for a little bit, pretty soon we'd hear them again, and I said, let's move over this way a little. So we did, and there they went the other way. That was the last we saw, but we were just both kind of... Well, no, that was interesting. But, yeah, we did a bunch of stupid stuff.
Yeah, putting that shit up.
What's the stupidest thing?
We were fishing up on Stone Lake, big stone, and I threw out... We're fishing for walleye. And I threw out a neat little lure I had, and kerwham. My line went down, my rod bent clear over, and I male turned around and looked at me and said, what you got? And I said, I don't know. I said, I think I'm in weeds. And about that time, the weeds started doing this. And I said, I don't think I'm in the weeds. He says, you need help? And I said, I think so. So he shut the motor and started loading things up, moving around and getting ready so he could get the net. Meanwhile, my rod's in the water going around the front end of the boat. And I'm hanging on with both hands and trying to reel it some. And the third guy that's fishing with us, his name was Cheyenne, was fishing out of the back of the boat. And he was facing rear. And he's just fishing away. And your dad and I are working and working, and Malin is getting ready, and I'm getting around, and we're trying to work. And he's trying to control the boat. And the guy just fishing away. And pretty soon, this sucker came up, and it was a 33-inch, 10-pound northern pike. And I was hanging on for dear life. And it came around, and Malin was right there, and he whopped that sucker up. And the guy went, hey, what are you guys doing back there? He missed the whole thing. He said, how do you do that? Nobody got excited. Nobody. You never said a word between the two of you. I said, no.
And they're big.
He knew what he was doing. I knew what I was doing. It works. And that was. it was funny.
Cheyenne just was so the boat never moves. As big as a guy as he was, the boat never moves.
Yeah, low center of gravity.
That's what he said.
Oh, it was good. I accused him of knocking one of the biggest walleyes I ever hooked off, but he knocked it off. I know he did. He said, look, it was still 4 feet in the water. I said, you could have reached down for it. I didn't have it hooked very good. Well. Oh, and then there was a time we were cutting up trees with a chainsaw.
Oh, God.
And his chainsaw ran out of gas, so he went and filled it up. And he came back and wouldn't start. Anybody that's ever messed with a chainsaw, they're a pain in the neck.
Yes, they are.
And he worked and he worked and he was, I was,
they
you
work.
Know, I, and mine ran out of gas, so I went over and I unscrewed it and I poured gas in. He looked at me and he said, why'd you put gas in that hole? I said, because that's where the gas goes. The oil goes in the front hole. Really? I said, yeah.
Oops.
Oh. I said, you put the gas in the front hole, didn't you, Malin? Yeah. I said, it doesn't run very good that way. I don't know. He wasn't paying attention to what he was doing, and he just, you know, grabbed it and opened it up and poured gas in, because we were trying to get a job done, and he hit the wrong. He poured it in the oil hole instead of the gas hole. Oh, yeah.
The troubles of life.
No.
Yeah.
We laughed a lot. Got in a lot of trouble sometimes doing stuff. Not really troubles, but
somewhat.
We'd have a good time. Yeah, that's okay. Enough. Shut your teeth.